Jerry Crowley of the Bay Area News Group. Now back to the Giants pregame show with Marty Lurie on KMBR 680.
All right, the best walk-up music of anyone we have on the show, and that is Kerry Crowley. Kerry, how are you?
Excellent, Marty. How's it going today?
Very good. Of course, Kerry covers the Giants for the Bay Area News Group and San Jose Mercury News. And I said today, you know, you're a veteran already. You will be unanimous Rookie of the Year, but you and Chris Haft are the only two there. Andy's off somewhere else with them, probably making coffee. Henry's tweeting away. And Alex is on TV, and you're actually at the ballpark.
Yeah, doing all 10 games on the road trip, per usual. Don't forget John Shea is also here, so there are three representatives from the crew.
Yeah, we don't really count John as a regular, but he is there. I'll grant that. We'll do that for you. Hey, have you stayed away from the Skyline Chili?
I have. I have not even been tempted by the Skyline Chili, even with the advertisement on the left field wall here at Great American Ballpark. That's just not going to be touched.
Great. All right. You know, I opened up the show. I said, look, the two games in Los Angeles were excellent. The tough game on Wednesday, a very tough game, a tough loss. And then last night, Kerry, this is a ballpark that screams for runs, home runs, and to go 11 innings and score one. It's just almost unbelievable and inexplicable. And listening to Bruce Bochy after the game, and even with his comments before the game that you guys reported, he's at his wit's end about this offense.
Yeah, he was as frustrated as I've seen him after a loss this year last night. He called it borderline ridiculous, said the offensive funk just continues. And really, he's tried to tinker with the lineup. He's moved guys up and down. Today, he'll do it again. He's put Joe Panik in the two spot, but Buster Posey said after the game, it's not on Boch, it's on us. And he's absolutely right. At some point, the guys that the Giants are paying to hit in the 3, 4, 5, and 6 slots have to produce, and it just hasn't happened.
No, Dwayne said it last night, I think something like 2 for 23 or 1 for 18, and, you know, those kind of numbers. So what's the answer to this? And, you know, we fooled around with it in our podcast this week. You probably heard a mid-inning relief, back and forth on what to do. But what do you do? I mean, you know, you've got Belt, you got Panik, Crawford, you got the people you just described, Longoria, McCutchen. What do you do? What do you do with these people? It's not the lineup, it's the people in the lineup.
Well, and that's absolutely right. And I don't know if they'll have an answer or a solution for what they do until the off season. They need to evaluate the team over the next 6 weeks and decide what members of the core are worth keeping together and what members of the core they can trade for other pieces. Because ultimately, this lineup needs to get younger, it needs to get more athletic, and it needs more power. Even if AT&T Park is your home ballpark, you still need to be able to hit home runs on the road. And the Giants are the only team in baseball without a player with 15 home runs this season. That could soon change if Andrew McCutchen hits another, but he won't be here next year, Marty. So they've got to get creative and figure out ways to kind of beef up this order, because the lineup that we've seen over the past two seasons with these core players just isn't getting the job done.
All right, well, let's ask you this. You've been there all year long, and you really, we commend you for never missing any of these series. What do you see? Who would you keep? What do you see as players that may be over the hill, or maybe just having a bad year, or they don't have the right approach? How do you see it right now? Well, give me some names.
Well, they're going to keep Crawford and Posey no matter what. And, you know, I think that the conversation will be had heading into the offseason about will first base be in Posey's immediate future in 2019. And if that's the case, do you bring in another catcher next year who can fill a roster spot? Maybe Yasmani Grandal. He's the youngest free agent catcher on the market. Do you go with Joe Panik, or do you try to get younger at second base and maybe even more athletic? Eduardo Escobar of the Diamondbacks is a free agent. He leads the major league in doubles this year. And there's going to be opportunities to flip certain guys. Maybe Brandon Belt is one of them if Buster Posey moves to first base. But they've got a few pieces to build around. They're not going to be able to move Evan Longoria because of his contract. Steven Duggar will be in center field next year, and I think that they could really benefit from him being the leadoff spot. So they need to address the corners in the outfield and figure out ways to get more athletic.
Madison Bumgarner pitches today. Kerry, your opinion of Bumgarner, maybe his last 4 or 5 starts, what have you seen?
Well, it's interesting because he's not the same pitcher that he was in 2014, but he has the best ERA of his career to this point in the season right now. He's still below 2.8. He's looked good. He's getting hitters out in different ways, and he doesn't have that – nice 93-94 mile an hour fastball, but the cutter's still sharp. The curveball and the changeup are good. And so Madison Bumgarner is kind of evolving in front of our eyes. And if you were ever to bet on someone who was going to have latter half of their career success after their first 10 seasons in baseball, Clayton Kershaw and Madison Bumgarner are probably those two pitchers. And so I think the next few starts for him and all of the starts next season are really key in proving what he can bring to the table in his, as he enters his 30s.
Well, we'll see. So, you know, we've kicked it around, and again, it's a Saturday. They're still only five games behind the Dodgers, even no matter what you say, 39 to go. You know, if this was a normal team, so to speak, winning and losing and scoring eight runs and seven runs and the bullpen kicks it in every once in a while, I think we'd feel a little differently. But they're only five behind the Dodgers at this point. That's still where they are.
Yeah, but they are seven back of the Diamondbacks, and the Rockies are still a threat, and they just don't have enough head-to-head games against their division foes left. They've got six against the Padres, but three against every other team in the division. And so, you know, you look at that schedule, that's 15 games against NL West teams. They probably have to go something like 12-3, 13-2 in those games to give themselves a chance. And as a team that has spent more days at or one game within 500 the entire season going to do that, it would be quite a miracle run.
Yeah, I think we're getting into Miracle Max territory. I think that's where we're heading here. Hunter Strickland comes back today. Your feelings about that?
Yeah, I think it's a big two-month stretch for Hunter Strickland right now because he'll be pitching as a setup man. Will Smith will keep the closer job, but Strickland is a guy who can go back-to-back days. He can go 3 days in a row, and the Giants have really missed that in the bullpen. Reyes Maranta has really been the only guy that they can lean on for that. So have another right-hander who throws 95 who can do that as big. But it's also important for Strickland because the Giants are in the evaluation stage. Do they want to keep him next season? He's arbitration eligible. He gets more expensive. So will they flip Strickland in the offseason? And I think his performance over the next 6 weeks will kind of dictate that.
Is Panic in the same boat for next year?
Absolutely. I don't think anything's settled at second base heading into the 2019 season. Panic has struggled mightily this year. He had a nice two-hit game last night. He's back up to the two spot today. But, you know, Alan Hansen has emerged as a guy the Giants might be able to rely on. And he's younger and less expensive than Panic. Chase Darnell has hit lefties well this season in limited playing time. And, you know, there's going to be opportunities. Maybe if they want to beef up that starting staff and find another pitcher to come in, they could flip Panic for someone else in the offseason. But I think that he's a member of the core who could be vulnerable to some of the changes that they are going to consider.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. Kerry Crowley with us. Matt Harvey today, the Dark Knight. Since the All-Star game, he hasn't won a game. Four starts, 19 innings, 17 runs, seven home runs given up, a .304 average against. But even so, he went out last start and went seven innings against Arizona.
Yeah, they have to hit Matt Harvey. I mean, when you've got a Matt Harvey-Madison Bumgarner matchup, you know, you can't afford to lose this game. If you have any serious designs on a playoff run, it's just not going to happen if you lose this one. And I think Bumgarner knows it. I think every player in the clubhouse knows it, that they have to go out and beat a guy who has not performed well since the All-Star break, like you said.
Pablo Sandoval goes on the 60-day DL, and he joins Cueto. There's no more room on the 60-day DL, and that gets Strickland on, back on the active roster. But if they bring up anybody in September, and Henry Schulman pointed this out this morning, they've got to clear space on the 40-man roster to bring up someone who's not on the roster. Who becomes vulnerable? Anyone in particular if they want to bring up some call-ups?
There's some AAA relievers who are on there. Steven Okert, Josh Osich, Derek Law. If the Giants want to get Chris Shaw on the roster, which they'll have to do this offseason anyway, you know, you can make that move, and you're probably not sacrificing too much. Those guys are replaceable at this point in their careers. The Giants can go out and hit the waiver wire this offseason, find some other minor league free agents, and beef up their pitching staff that way. But you've got to protect Chris Shaw anyway, so I still think that they'll find a way to get him up here in September.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it, absolutely. Boy, you know, when it's all said and done, they're still fighting and we're still trying to analyze this thing every day. But you're right, Arizona and Colorado seem to be getting better as we go down the stretch.
Yeah, the NL West is still tough, and, you know, a lot of people don't want to give it the credit that maybe the Central has with the Cubs and the Brewers fighting it out near the top, or the East has with the Phillies and the Braves and their young talent. But the reality is it's going to go down to the wire in the NL West, and right now the Giants don't look like they're going to be involved in that three-team race, that they want to make a four-team race, but there's still 39 games to make an impact, and so we're still going to treat it that way.
Yeah, as Flan says, and Flan was great on TV last night. He's the best. And they said, look, they got to win 10 in a row. Somebody's got to do it. And it was like firing everybody up, and we'll see if anybody can do it. Last thing for you, Derek Rodriguez on the DL. That must have been a shock to everybody.
Yeah, big shock, especially considering he didn't hurt himself pitching. He hurt himself running out to the field in that Puig-Hundley brawl on Tuesday night, and he said he felt the hamstring strain when he was holding guys back. He was involved with Jock Peterson there, the Dodgers, and so Rodriguez going on the disabled list really at the worst possible time for the Giants. I mean, the hottest pitcher in baseball missing a start against the Reds and potentially missing a start against the Mets is just devastating.
Yeah, not good. Are you in favor of the rule that says, like the NBA, NHL, and all those other leagues, that said you can't come off the bench if you're not in the fight?
That's a good question. I'm not in favor of it just because I like seeing the relief pitchers sprint from the bullpen.
Okay. All right. You call it the Reyes Maranta experience. Is that what you call it?
It is an experience watching Reyes Maranta pitch. Yes, Marty.
All right. We quote you on that. All right. KO underscore Crowley on Twitter. Always a pleasure. Early tomorrow. We're on at 8 a.m. tomorrow, so make sure you get some good sleep tonight.
Looking forward to it. Thank you, Marty.
All right, Kerry. Thanks so much. That's Kerry Crowley. Always a pleasure having him on.